From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 24th day of June, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll get an update on insect pressure across the state of Illinois from entomologist Nick Sider at U of I Extension, and we'll discuss the weather forecast, too, that with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. And if you can stay with us for the whole hour on our home station, we'll hear all of Commodity Week, a portion of that on many of these radio stations today, and on many of them over the weekend as well, or up online right now at willag.org. Our panelists for the day included Wayne Nelson, Kurt Kimmel, and Chip Nellinger.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn today at $7.50 and a quarter, up 3.5. December at $6.74, 18.5 higher. July beans 17.5 cents higher at $16.10 and three quarters. And November, the new crop at $14.24 and a quarter, up 8.75 cents. Bean meal futures up $5.90. The bean oil $2.04 higher. Wheat futures in the soft red July down 13.5 cents at $9.23 and three quarters of a cent. And the hard red July at $9.92 and a half, down 12.5 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished 50 cents lower at $133.37 and a half. The feeders at $172.50, down $2.35. And lean hogs in the August contract, $3.10 higher for 100 pounds at $106.77 and a half. Crude oil up $3 a barrel. Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here on this Friday.
Great to be with you, Todd.
It was a rough week, a short week in Chicago, just a four-day trading week. But boy, were there some heavy losses, some gains, I suppose, back on Friday during the day. But kind of a tough week all across the board for commodities. What can you tell me about it?
Well, I'm going to stay on the theme of the outside markets for the most part, Todd. I mean, I'm sure that in my mind and in some of the people I talk to and the colleagues in Chicago that I work with, you know, there was weather certainly being traded in the market, or the lack of a weather reason to buy probably pulled out some market participants from the late prior week trade early in the week when we came back from the holiday. But I really got a sense, especially on Thursday, with corn being the clear leader to the downside on very, very heavy volume. I think December corn was up around 245,000 contracts of volume on Thursday, and we'll probably do barely half that on Friday's close. But because of that, I think the managed money funds were likely exiting the corn, and you know, the Dease corn volume exceeding Wednesday and probably exceeding Friday would suggest maybe there's some different market participants. So my take at the end of the week is the Federal Reserve is going to attack inflation, even if it hurts demand. And that means a stronger, more than weaker dollar. And it's not a coincidence to see canola and crude oil and other major commodities, hard red wheat, fall back towards their major breakout points. In the case of canola, we erased all of the gains from when we broke out in the month of February, and that's saying something. And, you know, natural gas is down double-digit percentages. Cotton on Friday really lost, I think it lost about 26% in the July contract. These things all add up to me. If it's heavy volume, it's probably the funds, and it's probably inflation. And then I think as we got towards Friday's close and Friday's midday, we started to think about the crop weather again.
Yeah, so let me think about this. So if it was the fund liquidation, that would be volatility, but not potentially where the market is going to trade, simply just a lot of fund liquidation, which caused the market to go down. Interestingly enough, you mentioned canola, some of the other markets, a lot of rainfall in the Canadian prairies, so probably a better than average crop, I suppose, may come out of there. And that along with some of the trade things you were discussing. So my question then is, do you think this is a pause, a sideways market to this point, waiting for the weather to come back into the marketplace on potential problems across the Corn Belt?
Yeah, excellent question. I would say the technicals and the way we've looked at this market this year being more like a 2008 market versus a 2012 market, between those two things, the technicals and the way this market looks versus prior years when we've had grain rallies, we really don't have reason to say that the market can stop going down yet. We have reason to say that the market has held technical support. We have reason to say that wheat and I think especially corn are probably too cheap if we continue to have weather. Beans could be too cheap if we continue to have weather. Why? Because we have such a short crop. I can't believe how short this crop is this year, Todd, and that means it's much more vulnerable to hot, dry weather. But if we would have cool and dry weather or some scattered showers and not too much heat, it may still end up being a decent crop. I think that the key here is the wheat market, because I still think we're trying to break out of a 2008 market, but we just can't do it. And so wheat's still a key leader in the bull market, probably the best representative along with copper to the inflationary bull that got this market kicking off back last year or a year plus ago. And then it goes back to the technical, some of the key charts I'm looking at on a monthly basis. We've broken some trend lines, but some of the even more important charts I look at that clients and clients really are the only ones that get to see it are really saying to me, if you go too much lower, you can open this thing up to the downside, maybe going into the middle of July as far as, you know, kind of a number count or something like that.
Two other items to take up before I let you go for the afternoon, because you and I are talking before 2 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. We have not seen the numbers that are coming out for the cattle market. What were your expectations and how important are these?
They're very important given the cold storage numbers Thursday. While we did see the pork market pull down stocks on some key cuts versus April in the cold storage report that reflected the May stocks as of May 31, beef, except for boneless beef, stayed at 100%. Beef cuts stayed at 100% versus April, and that kept us at 154% versus last year. So the number one feature for me on the cattle and feed reports, the marketing's number, the average Reuters guess is 103%. I think we should be able to meet that based upon what good start of grilling season we've had. But if we would happen to slide below that, I'd be very nervous about downside potential.
And the other item is that we have the July 4th weekend coming up next weekend, another three-day weekend. Sometimes that one really can manage to push the market in a new direction. What are your thoughts going into it?
Yeah, this goes back to our very first conversation, just kind of button it up. In my mind, because this 2008 market, wheat-led market, inflation-led market, supply-driven inflation market, it means we've got to get demand back. And if we don't get demand back, then we're going to have to live off of weather for rallies. And you know, this week, the Chinese showed us that they weren't buying as much in the soy complex, and that was something we talked about couple weeks ago on a commodity week. I'm very nervous about the Chinese economic situation and their overall commodity demand. And so I think that July 4th holiday, we got to have weather on our side, or we've got to have the market waking up to we're not going to get Ukrainian supplies out of Ukraine to the world market, i.e. either we need Corn Belt weather or we need wheat to justify this price action.
You think the Ukrainian supplies, whether they're coming out through Russian ports or Ukrainian ports, are going to make it out then?
They will if Russia wins, because there'll be Russian supplies, and we'll continue to see Russia as a major force against us in the wheat market. But we, in our soft red wheat market now, we are competitive with Russia at this point, even if you throw in some of the transportation.
That's a new thing. I mean, over the years, that's a new thing, right? We were the backstop for the world, not the competition. So, at least as of recent. Anyway, hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time for us.
My pleasure, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzalo. He's with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. You know, farmers and field scouts are always on the lookout to protect the crops from all kinds of problems that can occur. Insects are difficult, especially during the summer months, and they pop up suddenly sometimes. I checked in with field crops entomologist Nick Sider here on the Urbana-Champaign campus to see what kinds of problems he's been hearing about.
I haven't received a lot of reports of insect problems over the last couple of weeks. That's not really uncommon for this time of year. I have received a few reports of armyworm feeding, in some cases heavy armyworm feeding, after rye cover crops in particular. And that's something we do see from time to time. Those cover crops are pretty attractive to the adult moths. And then those larvae, after the cover's been terminated, they'll move over to the cash crop. Have been receiving more questions about stink bugs than I typically do this time of year, and most of them that hasn't been damaged so much as just the curiosity of seeing a lot of these. Of course, where we'll really get concerned about stink bug issues in Illinois will be later on in the season when soybeans start potting out. That's where most of our damage complaints occur, though you can occasionally get some stunting of plants if stink bugs feed early enough in corn. Most of what we see in corn and most of what we've been seeing in corn this year is some cosmetic feeding that sort of causes tears down the leaf tissue. And that, unless you're seeing a really high amount of it, that's an indication you have a high population. Typically, that's not something to be all that concerned about. Also saw our first Japanese beetles this past week. Haven't seen large populations yet. Haven't heard of large populations yet. Don't know if that'll occur this year or not, but that's something to be on the lookout for over the next couple of weeks.
So producers, others should be on the lookout for those emerald-colored Japanese beetles over the next couple of weeks and a few other insect pests, says Sider.
So anytime we have these hot, dry conditions, we start to get concerned about spider mites. And typically in Illinois, at least in the northern two-thirds of Illinois, we're used to, if we deal with spider mites in a given year, dealing with them more in like late July and in August. Well, they can actually affect you anytime during the season. That's just typically when the weather is conducive to seeing those mites. So it's hot and dry right now. That's something to be on the lookout for. Of course, the initial signs that you have a mite infestation out in your field, you're going to see areas that are discolored, yellowish turning brown as it gets worse, along the margins, and especially on margins right after you've mowed. So if you need an excuse not to mow during these hot, dry conditions, that's a good excuse not to mow. Other thing we'll be seeing over the next couple of weeks, we expect corn rootworm adults to start coming out. They're right on schedule to begin coming out shortly here in central Illinois, so that's something to be on the lookout for over the next couple of weeks as well.
Corn rootworm, of course, has not been a really big issue since 2003 with the introduction of BT corn to control that particular pest. However, it's been nearly 20 years, and there are some breakthroughs that have been allowing that pest to make a comeback, so farmers should be on the lookout for that pest, whether it be the western corn rootworm across much of the state, the northern corn rootworm in the most northern parts of the state, and to some extent the southern corn rootworm. Rootworm in southern Illinois. Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. Our theme music for the day is written, performed, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Let's check in on this Friday with Eric Snodgrass. He's with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate that on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Well, tell me a little bit about this forecast that seems to be just trying to decide what things should look like. What's the predictability problem we have?
Well, the predictability problem comes from the fact that we've lost a lot of momentum in the jet stream. So if you just think about how easy it is to forecast at any given time. And atmospheric scientists will tell you, the stronger you make the jet stream, the longer you make the jet stream, the more predictable the eventual weather pattern is. And that's why we had such consistent forecasts through spring, right? Now, it broke down in June, and we've now seen the full ramifications of that loss of momentum, especially in the Pacific jet stream. So what happens is it makes the models more, well, when you initialize them with all the data, they just have less defined features from which to grow on the forecast. Does that make sense? So what ends up occurring here is that we tend to lose the ability of the forecast models to predict accurately anything beyond maybe just the next couple of days. So long story short, this week was just met with model run after model run after model run that was giving us a different solution because the loss of momentum reduced predictability. And it wasn't, of course, the main cause for the volatility we saw in the markets, but it kind of kicked some things off that really moved a lot around. And as a result of that, some of these new forecasts are predicting a little bit better precipitation, which for many of us, we desperately need.
Tell me about the two-week forecast in that case.
Yeah, I think the best way to frame the next 2 weeks is to look at the past 2 weeks real quick. We saw throughout much of the midsection of the country, from Texas through Nebraska, from Nebraska over to the eastern Corn Belt, we saw just several regions go into flash drought, right? So we saw very hot temperatures at times, and we also saw no precipitation. We had low humidity and at times some stronger winds. And what that does is pulls the moisture out of the ground and out of the plant canopy quickly. Okay, we want to know, are we going to break this pattern down a little bit? Because that central U.S. ridge has been problematic for bringing in that flash drought. And the good news is we've got cooler weather coming in from the north and west. Big storms in the upper Midwest. Will the front get here to give us a decent chance at rainfall? Because Todd, where we live in Mahomet, we've recorded in the month of June less than 0.2 of an inch of rain. And even that 0.2 that came in, it evaporated the next day anyway, so it didn't really do much. We need the moisture badly here across central Illinois. North and south of us, they had it. We had big storms down, you know, rolled through Effingham, for example, out of the western part of Illinois all the way to the southeast. Storms north of us, but they've missed the mid part of the country, or state, excuse me. So this weekend front is going to be critical. Knocks the temperature back, but we got to get the moisture out of it. And unfortunately, I think it's going to be a bit more hit or miss than widespread rain.
That's for this weekend. Does it get better as we get further into the two-week forecast?
I hope. There's good news in the models in that they've trended wetter and wetter as we stretch this out to the very beginning of July. But what we need them to do is keep it wet through the middle of July when we think a lot of this crop is going to be pollinating. I'm talking about after the 10th through the 14th and beyond that time frame. And that's when I start to see some risk returning. So there's going to be a lot of people listening right now that don't want to hear that, but it's the reality of this pattern. It keeps favoring troughs of low pressure in the west. And as a result, we tend to ridge here, and that becomes quite, well, just increases our risk for more drought. So all the long-range models still have us on the drier side of average going through the month of July.
What about for the rest of the summer months?
Well, there's still strong indicators because of La Nina that the greatest risk late July and August is actually to our west. Every model right now that I've seen wants to center the greatest risk of being dry over like Kansas City and surrounding states. So if that happens, that's good for us. We tend to get more thunderstorms developing, northwest flow. We love that. But that does mean that we will have places that continue to sow drought stress across the Corn Belt. And this is just a year where we don't want to see any of that. We need to change that global balance sheet in a favorable way, and we still have risk on the table.
Other parts of the Northern Hemisphere have a lot of pressure on them to raise a good crop because Ukraine, the Black Sea, Russia are in the midst of not being able to push a crop out through the export channels. Europe has been in dry conditions. They've been hot. Will that continue?
Yeah, and it's much in the same thing that we've seen in the U.S. We've had these heat waves that have begun west and then push east, and they've seen the same thing. So right now, for the next 10 days, Central Europe pressing over toward like Poland, Ukraine, Romania, big producing areas, they're going to have the heat build in and drier conditions. Whereas France, which took on the heat early, It's storming like mad. Germany, big thunderstorms rolling through Germany as of late. So they've kind of gone from one extreme to the next. And so we're curious if there's been any damage on that crop, because unlike the U.S., there wasn't the major delays throughout much of Europe getting the crop in this year. So they're at a more vulnerable time to see this heat come in. And yep, some of that drought problem is happening in Ukraine, where we know about the limited sizes of the crops there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet.
Eric Snodgrass is from Nutrien Ag Solutions in Daggerville and helps us always to wrap up our Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. You can find that, by the way, online anytime you'd like at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org.